Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio. And this is going to be a fun one, Katie. Got an interesting crowd, some people you're really interested in.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Katie's a big fitness person.
I am. Right. Yeah.
We will get to Amy and Dane from One Life Fitness in a bit. But first, we're going to kick off the show with Andrew Levy with DT Productions. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Can you share a little bit about DT Productions? How are you serving folks?
Sure. We are a film production company. We started about 6 years ago, based in Athens, Georgia, but typically film all over the place because, you know, you never really know where the film's going to be. We typically work on films that serve humanity. So we work with brands to kind of find what the human spirit inside their company is and really try and draw that out.
And then how'd you get started?
So started 6 years ago. I was working at Live Nation at the time. You're probably familiar, a concert company.
Sure.
And had good friends who were film guys, and they were doing films in Athens kind of for fun as a hobby. And so basically, after about 40 conversations at Live Nation where different partners were saying, yeah, that's great. We want to get integrated into concerts. We'd love to name a building, do a concert series, et cetera. But we want that to live on past that day. And so I had these buddies in Athens who were making films, but they weren't making any money. And so I said, you know, I think there's an opportunity here to start this company. And so, you know, kind of caught confident ignorance, but just went ahead and started the company and sent an email out to my clients at Live Nation. And that first day landed a 10-video deal with a regional bank down in Houston. That kind of kicked us off.
And then, so the vision was to create documentary-style videos, or like what kind of videos? It's not commercials, right?
Not really. So we really didn't know at first. So that first project with the bank I talked about, basically they didn't know what they wanted. They were new to video and said, you know, we want videos that help express what we do. And I said, great. So let's not talk about bankers or banking at all, because no one really wants to hear about that. Let's go out in the community and talk about what your partners are actually doing and tell the stories to those people. And that kind of kicked us off. And
so when you say partners, are you talking about their customers?
Yeah, people that they serve, you know, restaurants, construction companies, people who are doing the interesting action. It's better for imagery. And so we went out and told those stories, and it was really a successful campaign. And what happened was, a lot of industries that didn't typically get, you know, attention from our peers in film really said, you know, come make us creative. Come help us share our story in a unique way. And so that's what we started to do. And that kind of fast forward about, you know, a year of kind of trial and error. And we started working on a project with a private equity company down in Houston as well. Kind of side note, I left Live Nation in Houston. I went to New York, Virginia, and Houston. So a lot of our first partners.
So you knew some already business people.
Yeah, a lot of our first partners were coming out of that area. And so.
But your friends were in Athens?
The film company was in Athens, and they convinced me to move there. It's an amazing place to live. So I said, sure, let's do it. But we were kind of commuting back and forth from Houston to Athens in the beginning, because that's where the partners were coming from. And so we got this opportunity with this private equity company. Basically, they had this situation where they were acquiring a massive new company. I think it was a $6 billion acquisition.
Right.
So, you know, hundreds of new employees coming under their roof. And they said, we've got a situation where we need to make sure these employees understand that we're community first. And I said, well, you're a really wealthy investment banker. They're not going to believe you if you say that, right? Let's show them. So what do you do that's community oriented? And they said, you know, each year we go down to the border of Texas and Mexico and we serve a family in need. We build them a new house. Said, great, let's show that. So they sent us down there and it was an amazing project. But what was bigger than that was our relationship that we connected with this Calderon Rojas family. That was the family that was getting this new house. And basically after 3 weeks, we bonded with this family. The mother was taking 5 financial classes a week. The father was commuting from the tip of Texas all the way up to Tennessee. That was the closest job he could find. It kind of blew our minds. And the last night, the mother, Maria, invited us in for dinner. And we said, you know, absolutely not. We have a budget from our client. And she said, I demand that you eat with me. So we said, okay. And so she has her for dinner. It was a very emotional evening, as you might imagine. I basically said, you know, why are you doing all this? Why are you taking the classes? Why are you commuting so far? Why are you cooking us dinner? And her response to us was chispa. And that's literally translates from English to Spanish as the word spark. And she said, there's a spark inside of me that just wants to build a better life for me and my family. And we immediately resonated to that point and said, wow, you know, we feel that we have Chispa as well. We want to be filmmakers for our career. We love telling stories about people. How can we do that in the same passion that Maria has for her family? And on top of that, if we can find subjects that also have Chispa, this is going to be, it's going to be easy. These films are going to make themselves because all we have to do is point the camera and we're going to get that spark out of these people. So that kind of became our rallying cry and said, you know, we went to these businesses and said, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to come find this spark inside your company. We think that you have it somewhere. We're going to look for it. And together we're going to go out and achieve it. And so our business grew pretty rapidly at that point because, you know, these industries had never had someone come and creatively look for this spark. And then it kind of took a whole nother meaning. 2 years ago, almost to the day today, we were in Oregon wrapping a shoot with our one of our partners. And we were driving up the coast to go back to Portland to fly home. Stopped at this beautifully scenic viewpoint. Like, you know, we're filmmakers. When we see something beautiful, we get out of the car and took it in. Me and one of my co-founders ran out to the water to kind of look at the ocean. And all of a sudden we got hit by a rogue wave 30 feet over our head and threw me into the rocks and pulled him into the water. And he didn't survive that day. And so, as you might imagine, that changed your life really quickly. And, you know, so.
And he was just standing right next to you?
Standing right next to us. And, you know, it might sound like we were in some dangerous area. We weren't. I've gone back to the location.
Right, it was just kind of a random.
It's called a sneaker wave. It comes just way bigger than the other ones, and you just don't see it coming. His last words to me were, "It's going to be a big one." And obviously, he was looking at the wave, but it means a lot
more
to me.
Was he filming? He was holding a camera?
He was not. You know, we had just wrapped a shoot, and we were just kind of taking in this beautiful scenic viewpoint. And he gave me those words, and obviously he was mentioning the wave in real time, but it means a lot more to me because I said, you know, what is going to be a big one? I'm going to take that word, those words and really, you know, take them to heart and see what we can accomplish. So that idea of Chispa that we had learned 2 years prior exploded that day. You know, we said, wow, you know, we feel that we have a spark greater than anything and nothing's going to stop us. And, you know, honestly, right before that had happened, about 2 weeks prior, we'd had our biggest film launch ever, you know, millions of impressions all over the place. And so our company was exploding and we're dealing with this tragedy. And we say, you know, what are we going to do next? Will define us. And, you know, Kelly's dream was to be a filmmaker and Kelly's who passed away. And I knew that, you know, he passed with the knowledge that he was a professional filmmaker. And I had a lot of pride in that and said, wow, look at what we were able to accomplish in this short amount of time. What might we accomplish for the rest of our career if we continue to focus and continue to take this cheese for the spark and that pushes us. And that became our rallying cry. In the last 2 years, we really dedicated ourselves to pushing the company forward. And we've had a lot of success. Last year, we did 21 cities, 5 countries, 50 million views, tons of Fortune 500 partners from, you know, little old Athens. And we have a lot of pride in that, but we have a long way to go.
So now when you're going to a company, are they coming to you now? Like, what's the customer?
You know, it's a little bit of both. When you start a company, you got to knock on doors. You got to tell people what.
Like, when you're knocking on, what door are you knocking on? The marketing person door, advertising, HR, the CEO?
I knock on every door ever. That's just how I operate. You know, anybody who wants to talk to me, I'm pretty passionate about what I do. You know, DT Productions is my life. You know, my best friend lost his life inside this company. And I, you know, I feel a lot of passion to, you know, carry his legacy in our own. And we have two other founders who feel the same way. So anybody we talk to, we want to talk about Chispa, which is the spark. And, you know, what is your spark? What is our spark? What are the sparks of the people you know? And how do we go out and tell that film? And so we do that with businesses. And more people have been hearing about us and saying, you know, come tell our story, come find our spark. And, you know, there's a number of ways we do that. Some organizations, we're talking to an organization right now that's worldwide, 10,000 employees, and morale's a roller coaster for them, you know, as major companies can be. And they said, you know, we want you to go to all our 8 different countries where our offices are and interview the entire company and then boil that down into the spark and the voice of our company. So that's one way we do it. Other ways is let's go out and, you know, we're partnering with another company right now. And forgive me, these films are in production, so I can't mention them, but I can talk about other ones. But where we're spent 6 months with the bull rider to find out what his spark is and why he rides bulls every weekend and nearly kills himself to raise his young family. He's got a 2-year-old daughter. He's 22 years old. And we're going to do that with an apparel company that makes sense along that brand. So it's either the spark of, you know, an individual that represents a brand, or we're going to go inside that brand and find their spark. And so that's what we do for companies. And it's been a unique job. And I really love it because honestly, I've been able to have like an all access pass to the world. I've been inside, you know, gold, like a $10 million gold pour and gold mine in the Dominican Republic. I've jumped out of airplanes. I've seen, you know, like chefs in full form, you know, cooking their best meal. I've been in, you know, C-suite executives, and I've seen, you know, the most impoverished community. I've been to Tanzania last year with orphans, understanding what their drive for education is. So like, you know, I've seen it all, and it's all because of this, you know, this job that I've been able to do.
So now when you're working with a company and you're trying to kind of take their spark and make it into a visual product, how much of it is like discovery from you talking to the, you know, the key people in the company and discussing what it is? Because you have to identify it, I guess, before you, or maybe you film first and then identify after what you've learned. But I would think that could get expensive, you know, if you're just wandering around with a camera.
It gets very expensive when you want our equipment.
Right. So you got to pre-plan a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, we call it controlled chaos. You know, we do a ton of pre-production where we're diving in and doing so much research that we can pretty much understand what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And so we know, here's what we think we're looking for. Here are the questions we want to ask. Here's the direction we want to go, we think. And we plan all the logistics, get everyone set up, and then we just let it happen. You know, when we're there with cameras, we let what happens naturally happen.
So you're like a fly on the wall.
We're a fly on the wall that pushes a little, you know, softly pushes, because, you know, people can react differently to, you know, being in production. As you guys know, I'm sure people act differently when they get in front of this microphone. Right. But, you know, once we can get them in that comfort zone, that's when the real emotion comes out. And the best partners, you know, don't force their employees to say something positive. Like, you know, say what you want and let's get the real message out here. And right, that's really where beautiful stuff can happen.
Now, the thing that you're producing at the end of the day, are they 1 minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours? Like, what does it look like at the end?
I mean, our shortest thing can be 5 to 15 seconds. And our longest film right now is like 15 to 20 minutes. So, you know, it really depends on the scenario, I guess. What is the audience that we talk a lot about? You know, who are you trying to
reach? Right. Sometimes it might be internal. Sometimes it might be share with the world.
Exactly. So, you know, if it's external and, you know, it's a commercial product, it's got to be somewhat short. Although, like the rodeo film is going to be around 10 minutes, but, you know, we'll break that film up into hundreds of little clips as well. So it can be utilized in many different ways. So, right. If the audience is captive, if you're in a premiere setting, which we always suggest, like premiere this someplace with your core audience, you can go longer. If it's social, if it's online, let's go a little bit shorter, because we're really stealing time at that point. You know, everybody budgets a little bit of procrastination each day, but it's a tough market to get inside their procrastination each day. So we really got to steal that time from someone. So you don't have a lot of time, but you got to be exciting and really connect with their emotion. And that's what I think is what we do really well, is really try and connect with the emotion of our viewer and let them say, we're you know, authentic, we're real. This is what really happened. This is what they really said, so that, you know, people can relate to that moment.
Now, when you're working with a company and they take on a project of this magnitude, how do you kind of build an ROI case around it? Like, where this is money well spent. Like, it might feel good and it might be something they're proud of, but at the end of the day, is this something that drives business?
I think it's past case studies that really show. It's hard to say what's exactly going to happen in the future. And we can obviously track and say, this is what's going to happen, et cetera. But it's also the previous case study. So for example, we partnered with Checkers Burgers, and they wanted to, you know, showcase the authentic reactions of their customers when they do good deeds to their customers. So one of the good deeds they did is they made these giant french fries, and people would get giant french fries. And it sounds silly, I know, but we showed the reaction of what it was like if you were gifted this Kobayashi, who's like the famous world eater, Kobayashi sized french fries. And, you know, the reactions were priceless, and, you know, ended up being their most watched social video ever, 28 million views, you know, organically and some paid throughout the internet. And, you know, that's a great case study of the authenticity of real fans reacting to unique situations being appreciated by the audience. I think another case study, you know, we work with a gold company, a gold mining company, and that's a morale roller coaster, right? There's tons of highs and lows of working in an industry like that. And employees can feel that as well. And so, you know, something that we're talking about is employee morale. How do you really lift up this group? And so I went out and literally talked to employees in different countries all over the world about how their opinions of video. We made video, and I just have testimonial after testimonial of, I can't believe how great it is to have my voice be heard. You know, I'm one of 1,000 employees, but you came out and filmed me and gave me a chance to speak. Whether or not I make this film, I just appreciate giving, you know, 20 minutes to voice my opinion. And so there's testimonials like that internally that make a huge impact with companies. And then there's also, like, you know, case studies of just major commercial successes of showing the authenticity of connecting with, you know, your customer.
Now, how much of your job is managing the expectations of the customer in terms of, well, make me one of those viral videos to get 20 million views. And then you just pull one right off the shelf. You just check the viral video box, and then is it that simple?
I don't know. But I mean, you know, the conversations aren't really like that, I guess. You know, if it's going to be something like that, you know, we'll probably partner with an agency, because what we're really focused on is the human spirit, right? You come to us and say, connect me with the human spirit and connect me with Chiefs, but connect me with the spark of this certain group that I'm trying to connect with. And we're pretty good at that. You know, there really is.
So capturing the human element, that's your secret sauce. If something goes viral, that's kind of out of your control.
I think we're pretty good at what we do and people appreciate that. So, you know, I hate the word virality, just to be honest, but I think that people like what we do. And so we tend to get a lot of views.
Uh-huh. So now when you're, what's on the roadmap for you?
A lot. You know, we've grown significantly each year. And, you know, right now our mission is kind of continue to shift. You know, I mentioned that, you know, our co-founder's passing a couple years ago, and that affected us greatly. And, you know, we continue to really focus on, you know, 2 years sounds like a long time, but it's also a short amount of time when you're thinking about a situation like that. And we really focus on how do we make sure that we're doing something that he would appreciate and that we would also appreciate. And our mission has really turned into serving the creatives, the creative industry of Atlanta and Georgia and beyond. And that's what we're really proud about. The way that our company started was we kind of split it into two. We had, you know, a business side and a creative side. And the business side, which I was a part of, was there to kind of protect the creative spirit of our creatives. And they, all they wanted to do is focus on the film and focus on how it was going to come to be and, you know, picking up a camera, editing. They didn't really want to talk to a client. They didn't really want to think about accounting. They didn't want to think about, you know, pre-production and planning and paperwork. They wanted to be as creative as possible. And what we've learned over the years is that there's a lot of people like that. But, you know, if you're a freelance member in the Atlanta film community, you've got to do all that business stuff. You've got to do all that, you know, paperwork. And that can really stifle your creativity. That can really be a downer. And that can lead you to not being a part of the creative industry in general, mm-hmm. right? And that can be a huge roadblock when, you know, that person might go on to be an incredible creative talent that makes our world better by what their work is, but they might not ever come to be because of all these roadblocks. And if I can help, and if our company can help more creatives be creative and not think about anything but being a creative, that's a great win for us. So going out and getting these projects is really great for us and the partner. But what I really love is that, you know, more and more creatives are able to come into our clubhouse, what we call it, and you know, just be creative and focus on their craft, and we'll take care of all the other stuff and let them do what they want. And so I think that's going to be a really big focus for us over the next couple of years, is how can we continue to cater to the creative people of this city and beyond, and give them as much as they can, but get them paid, get them working on cool projects, and let them do what they want to do. And I think the more we do that, the more we can help our partners and help ourselves as well.
So now when you're saying that you kind of handle the sales and the administrative side and they focus on the shooting and editing and production side?
So I think a unique case there. I do a lot, you know, because I'm, you know, one of four founders. We all do a lot. We've actually categorized just ourselves uniquely as future, present, past. So we have three founders. I'm future. I focus on creative direction for projects and what it's going to look like and how it write out the treatments and the story. I do a lot of writing, but I also do a lot of sales. I kind of handle both. And then one of my partners is present. He's numbers, finances, CFO, operations. How are things going to come to be? And then our third is past, which working on editing and post-production and what it's going to look like at the finished product. And he's working on projects that I haven't thought about in over a year. But yes, for new creatives, we've kind of created a system to help them you know, figure out what pricing looks like, figure out how they should sell themselves. What does somebody want to hear when you go into that room? Or we can go and just set this project up and bring them on. But yeah, so me personally, I do a little bit of creativity myself because I can't get away from it. I really do love it. But I'm also good at the business side. And as a company, we've systematically figured out how these businesses operate and how they want to be spoken to. And we can kind of help creatives get away from that because all they really want to do is, not all of them, you know, some of them are really great at all of it.
Right.
But some of them just want to pick up a camera and do nothing else. And for those people, you know, we're here to help them. And we
so want, you're actively looking for more people, videographers and.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And we want to provide resources for them actively. And that's.
Are you looking for them in different markets so that if you have a client in that market, then you don't have to travel, then they shoot like in Wichita?
Absolutely. Like I said, last year we did 21 cities in 5 different countries. And
but
of course,
if you had the videographer in those cities,
I'm still going to go. Not me every time, but somebody from our team will be there. But yeah, we want to staff up, you know, the technical staff locally 100%.
And then so that means that you would help them in their market do some of the sales and business development?
Absolutely. There's stories everywhere and the client's not necessarily where the story is. So there's a lot of logistics that have to be navigated. And like I said, a lot of the time that can squash a creative person.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to
avoid. So you're trying to help them and serve that community.
And really, I'm trying to serve the client as well. Because
right. To give them a highly skilled artist rather than just somebody with a camera.
Exactly.
And then part of your role is kind of to be the translator from the business to the art.
That is exactly right. Yeah. There is a lot... There's a lot of translating going on, especially during the critique period and the review process, because you know, business pays a lot of money for this product. They want it to be great. They don't what they say, I can't necessarily bring to the editors. They don't want to hear exactly right, but we can say what they mean.
The spirit of
exactly, because that could be really, it gets a little nasty when you mix business.
And you may not want those people in front of the client as well.
They don't want to be in front of them.
Exactly.
We don't want them.
It works both ways.
Exactly.
And then who gets final cut? Is it the client or the artist?
So it's collaborative and typically the client on a pay gig, but each year we invest, you know, nearly $100,000 in our own original works. And that's where we kind of
just play,
release our, you know, creative spirit. And that's where we say, hey guys, you can do whatever you want here to an extent, obviously. When the client's paying for it, they obviously get to be a very big part of it. And we're not against that. You know, a lot of people push their clients away. Right. I don't see why you would do that.
Right. No, me either. So now, any advice for other companies that have a creative at the helm and that are in the creative industry?
I mean, stick with it. I mean, it can be
frustrating because, you know, you're trying to sell the invisible. You're trying to sell something that they have to visualize that maybe you can see clearer in your head that they may not be able to see.
So I think there's a couple of things to think about. One is that the overnight success takes like 15 to 20 years. And so that's something everyone needs to consider and like, you know, just calm themselves because it takes a really long time. Like I started a film production company. You know, I was kind of ignorant when I started it and just said, let's do it. But I've learned more over the time. And that's a huge ask. I want to be a great filmmaker. That's a lot of work that goes into becoming that and getting right. That experience. So I've understood that it's going to be a long go. And we actually made this joke, if you will, when we started that we wanted to make the 20s roar again. And we weren't going to look up until it was the 2020s because no one's allowed to talk until it's 2023. And that's the first time anybody can say if we're successful. So you guys are all invited. July 4th, 2023 is our Roaring 20s party. That's when we should be successful by then. And I mean, I think that's my big message is it just takes a long time. And also, I think the second one is think about how many people you actually need to impact. Like if, you know, for me, I need to impact 10 people a year who will want to do these partnerships. You know, I don't know what the answer for you is, but you probably need hundreds of people. And everyone thinks they need millions of people. Everyone thinks they need millions of views. Maybe you need 7.
Right.
And focus
the right
really
seven.
Specifically on those 7 and you'll get where you need to go.
Right. And if somebody wanted to learn more, let's see your work.
DTProductions.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and being part of the show.
Appreciate it.
All right. Next up, we got Amy Tully and Dane Robinson from One Life Fitness. Welcome, Amy. You're returning, right?
I am. Thanks so much for having us back.
So any news, anything going on at One Life? When we first met, I believe you weren't in operation yet.
Oh, well, we had six clubs and we were getting ready to open our seventh.
The Dunwoody Club hadn't opened
yet. Yes. Well, you've missed a lot. We are open and we are fabulous. And it's just been an absolutely outstanding facility. So if you haven't had a chance to come by, we strongly encourage that.
And what makes One Life Fitness Club different than some of the other ones around town?
First and foremost, just customer and member experience. We're looking to deliver that ultimate fitness experience to anyone and everyone, no matter what that is. So we've got everything you can think of. We have classes, we have hot yoga, we have cycling, we have saltwater lap pools, we have kids club if you have young family, we have basketball, strength and cardio equipment, of course. We have indoor, outdoor functional areas. So we really truly have everything all in one spot. So no matter whether you enjoy more functional style training or if you love to go in and get your zen on and do some yoga, we've got it all in one spot for you.
So it's a combination of a large gym, but with like kind of mini boutiques gyms inside of it?
We do. And we have the fabulous Dane Robinson with us today, who is our Team Fit creator and director and regional director of team training for One Life Fitness.
And then what does that mean, Dane? Team fitness?
Team fitness, team training. So if anybody is motivated by the power of a group, by no longer having to do this by themselves, they want the feel and the essence of that personal trainer that is correcting form, but at the same time is giving off this vibrant, palpable, dynamic energy. That's what team training really has evolved into. And that's what we strive for at One Life Fitness and has created an evolution into what we're doing in our Team Fit studio that's opened up in our Dunwoody Club.
So now the Team Fit studio, is it flexible to adjust to any new trend that might be happening?
Yeah, I think the goal was that we wanted to always be unique and in trend. It came with a lot of questions. We did a massive focus group of people that was in our current team training aspects. And, it was really asking those tough questions, locking ourselves in an office and me being on a whiteboard saying, what do we do well? What do we suck at? You know, all those different avenues. And when we came and we thought we had some good ideas and some of that, we got positive response on like, yeah, absolutely, I would do that. Some others would be like, that doesn't seem like it. So we had to scrap that idea. But it all translated well into what we wanted to create Team Fit to be into something that, once again, was unique and in trend for the boutique studio industry.
But how do you move within the kind of the trends within the trends? Like, you know, spinning is popular. High intensity workouts are popular. These CrossFit type workouts are popular. TRX, like they're... what's the dance one? Zumba type thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, you can't.
It's like picking a toothbrush.
Right. But a challenge from a gym standpoint, there's one gym here that you're a member of usually. And then, okay, I love whatever your high intensity training class, but I can't make it at 10 in the morning when you do it.
Yeah.
So like, even though I might be a fan of it, it doesn't work for me. How do you kind of accommodate all the different people with all the different great ideas that I'm sure come
Absolutely.
Out of you?
Absolutely. I think on two different planes. I think the idea is that there's so many trends and so many fads going on in the fitness industry is that what we did with Team Fit is try to add a layer of depth to what's happening. Right now, we embrace technology. Right now, heart rate performance monitoring is huge everywhere. Everybody has their Fitbits on or wearing chest straps or heart rate monitors. We had to embrace that to a high level, number one. But to all, like I said, the trends with the functional training and the cycling, what we did with Team Fit was add a layer of depth of teamwork. And basically, okay, we're going to take this technology part. We're going to take this essence of your heart rate performance. What if that was quantifiable? What if we put that into a point system? What if we took that and we put you guys and split you guys into teams? And all of a sudden we connected 8, 10, 20 human beings on two different sides. And if that person next to you was relying on your effort and doing that one extra rep, doing that one extra set there, all of a sudden we created a workout that was more than just a workout. It was an experience. And that's how you overcome any of these fads that or these trends that may not last or may hit a plateau and then may be on the downtrend is that you tap into, just like we talked about earlier with our previous guest, is into the human spirit, into the human connection. That will always transcend fads. And, you know, the avenue of, okay, I can't make it into this session, or, you know, I like doing everything there, you know, specifically, we're not looking to take over the fitness industry as a whole. It almost sounds counterintuitive. You know, if you can explain your product, like, you know, if you're selling a bottle of water and, you know, who's your customer? Well, anybody that has, you know, two lips and, you know, two hands. Well, that creates a lot of generality there, and everybody's going to shoot for that person. If for us, it is actually the mindset of who's that naturally competitive person? Who is that person that likes to be connected in a social setting? Usually sometimes you're millennials, but even like, you know, that's the people who generally want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. We focus on those people because essentially they will find other like-minded individuals that will help fill our studio, will help fill One Life Fitness, and essentially, you know, grow that community there. So everybody's entitled to, I like a certain aspect there, and we're not going to shoot for 100% of the pie. We just want a sliver. And do that really, really well and let that organically grow itself.
Now, when you're building those, when a person comes in and they're part of a team or part of a group in the sense, can the group transcend that one location? Can they be part of a One Life Fitness in any of the other locations, like say they're in another city? So that way we're all part of the same team. I can have myself, my cousin, my sister, whatever, if they live in different places where there's One Life. So we're all on the same team.
I think we're working towards that technology-wise from a team fit aspect, from a One Life aspect, absolutely. We've got, it'll be 52 locations right. Up and down You're the Eastern Seaboard right. At the end of this year. So we are growing rapidly. We're expanding into Missouri. But so short answer, yes, absolutely. If your cousin comes to visit you from, you know, Virginia Beach, they can come work out at a One Life with
right,
us.
Right, but can I be on the same team with them? Here, I'm in Atlanta and they're in Missouri.
Sure, and that like, we are working towards that. We're waiting for the technology to catch up right now. We've got these grand ideas.
Right. So at some point that'll be
yes,
possible.
That is absolutely the hope. We find, you know, just to touch back on those trends again, trends are trends because they're hot for a moment. They come and go. What is popular and what is the mainstay is people seeing success and results with their fitness. So as when you have that accountability, when you have that buy-in, whether it be from a team standpoint, or just for yourself, you know, if you're posting your fitness goals on social media, that is where you're going to, that accountability is what's going to drive you. So that's really what being a part of a team is about with Team Fit is, you know, you're not just holding yourself accountable to your workout, but in some sessions, you're holding yourself to the team's success.
Right. And then now from these classes, are they something you sign up for or can you just drop in?
Well, basically, we're going with the big boutique fitness model where we want to establish a lot of convenience for the prospect or the consumer to, number one, experience Team Fit. The Team Fit experience doesn't necessarily start when you walk in through the door. It's when, you know, you download our app. It's when you check us out, you know, through, you know, whether you're roaming around One Life. It's when, you know, you get a phone call or email directly from us that, once again, you kind of feel the excitement that we're ready for you to come in. And, you know, when you hear the best name in the any language is your own name, when you step up to that front desk, it's like, right. We were expecting you, you know. People love that feeling. It's that feeling of hospitality. So when we go into, you know, how people are finding themselves into the session, it's from a business standpoint, having all those touch points and having a proper consumer flow from they're going to download the app, they're going to see the schedule, they're going to purchase their first session, all those different things. It enables us to have such a tight consumer flow to make somebody feel a part of the brand before they ever step into the workout. Because when you try something new, when you do a new workout, there's a certain level of fear that comes with anything that new. So we try to strip those layers of fear away as you come on in, mm-hmm. just so that you already feel like I've talked to Dane. I'm just putting a face with a name, you know. I'm coming in to a safe space. I'm coming to a vibrant space, but a safe space where I think I can do this. I hope I can do this. So afterwards, we've just validated all those positive feelings, all those positive vibes after the fact there. But, you know, from that consumer flow, basically, you know, we try to avoid the drop-in aspect of it because it doesn't allow us to make that human connection. It doesn't allow us to properly make sure that you know us and we know you.
So you have to, if I want to go to a class, then I reserve my slot in the class?
Absolutely. So that gives us a easy aspect there. So right. We have our mobile app where you can check out all of our sessions. You can see the instructor. You can know what type of session you're signing up for. And that just gets fed back to the business so that we can start to make that connection.
Now, you mentioned the target being, I guess, younger people that are a little competitive, maybe that like that idea of group kind of connecting and holding each other accountable.
That's the group that has transcended or changed the industry over the last several years.
Right.
As far as those fitness consumers that are only more educated, but also as far as fitness goes, as far as, you know, how the body operates, and they want to live a healthier lifestyle, but they're looking for not only a great fitness experience, but also for a great, great overall, environment. That's where we've started to see that I compare fitness to restaurants. You know, everybody goes to a restaurant because they want to eat. Everybody goes to a fitness facility because they want to work out. What will keep you coming back is the experience.
Right. Now, the challenge with that thinking is that only, I think, 10, 12% of the population belongs to some sort of fitness center. So that means 80 something percent are either working out on their own or sedentary.
Mm-hmm.
So are you interested in getting involved with those? Like, do you have any corporate wellness things that are trying to move sedentary people into an active lifestyle?
Absolutely. We actually have brought on a dedicated corporate wellness director. Her name is Deborah Massa. And she works with a lot of businesses. It doesn't have to be a large corporation. We are working with IHG and State Farm, but we also do small businesses as well. And obviously the statistics show after years and years of studies that, reduced absenteeism through right. employee wellness. It's a great recruiting tool as part of a benefits package. So we do offer corporate wellness programs. Depending on the size of your company, we do discounted memberships, but we also take to that education level. And this is something that One Life and Team Fit both strive to do, is educate our folks. So those folks, that other 88% that doesn't belong to a gym or just chooses to be sedentary in their life, that we can teach them about, you don't have to be a big CrossFitter with
right.
compression socks
all
on, like
or,
you.
All or nothing.
Right, you don't have to be
right.
doing weighted plyo box jumps to be active. That we have everything inside of our facilities, from swimming to Team Fit, if you're more competitive, to yoga classes, just to get yourself up and moving. So we'll mm-hmm. do lunch and learns. We'll talk about, if you are working 60 hours a week, how do you eat healthy? You're not just stopping by Wendy's and grabbing something off the right. dollar menu. You're meal prepping on the weekends or making a better choice. So we really take that from the membership standpoint into the workspace. We've done workouts in the workspace. And actually, Team Fit is a really great, a lot of companies are following this trend, but it is a fun one, of team workouts for team bonding. So your C-suite level executives will come in. We've got some actual other boutiques that have come in to join us for fitness workouts, just to help for bonding. So that's mm-hmm. the new corporate retreat is now a team focused boutique style workout.
And do you have any events coming along in this regard?
Oh, yes. We've been super busy. So we just did our grand opening in Perimeter March 1st with the Dunwoody Chamber. And we are working hard to get our Holly Springs location open in the fall. So really all steam focused ahead on that and opening our 8th location this year.
Katie, before we wrap, I want you to quiz them on fitness.
Go, yeah. Katie, go.
Anything. Love it.
I mean, she's got laser focus.
Yeah.
Okay, let me give you,
I believe that.
I'm going to give her a second to get her act together. But she was a college athlete.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. What'd you play?
I ran track and field at Oglethorpe, right down the road.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. She does a podcast spotlighting athletes. So if you know any awesome. Athletes that she can interview on it, that would be important. So anybody.
Can Fantastic. I shout you out?
Sure.
Dane is actually the head coach for the Atlanta Steam.
Oh, really?
So the Legends Football League.
Okay.
And they were the 2017 conference champions.
Conference champion.
Did I get that right? Okay.
Team of the year.
Yes, team of the year. Oh, sorry. Coach of the year.
Her dream is to interview Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So if you have any contacts there.
I'm going to need to be with
Andrew
you on
knows
that.
Okay, that's Andrew. Okay. Andrew has a connection.
Okay. Do you really? Maybe
she runs fast. She will track
anyone
you down.
Has a connection. Yeah, I reserved episode 100 for him. So
Perfect.
I'm on episode 107 today. I released it, but episode 100 is forever reserved until I get him.
Amen.
All right, so. We'll stalk him on social media.
That's what I've been doing for a long time. So yeah. So,
and she's also a coach at the fitness center that shall not be named. which I won't name, but she coaches there as well.
I'm a CrossFit coach.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Good for you.
So you get the whole teamwork and community and avenues up there. And it's funny enough, you know, it's thinking about that person that is competitive. You know, we also talk about, you know, if I tie in all our dots and points there specifically, you know, it's that also that person that may not be competitive, but is also that wants collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, we found that out very quickly into, hey, here's a team setting aspect and where you can be competitive, but also here's a version of team fit in a couple of our sessions where you can be collaborative, where you're not going to compete against anybody other than yourself, but we're going to give you a goal and we're going to say, hey, everybody in this room, we're going to hit this point goal together. And that is, it's fun when you see eight strangers, eight individuals that all of a sudden are connected just through this one goal.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you hear the woo-hoos and the high fives and the chants and everything. It's amazing. It's amazing. So yeah. You get it.
I do. Yeah. The community aspect is huge. Like you're saying, I mean, I was drawn to it or just that community aspect because of the competitive nature of it. And I loved it. But I know, I mean, so many people are drawn to it because they get to be in the setting with other people who are in pursuit of that same goal. And they want to just have people along with them.
Absolutely.
Get that.
And that's what we talked about like earlier, just, you know, what it was a lot of what ifs that are now tangible things and we're seeing come to fruition. But it's like, what if we gave these people a chance to say, you know, it's in, we're going to give you, we're going to quantify your performance and say, you know, you hit this certain heart rate zone, you're going to earn these many points and everything. That can be communal or, you know, once again, I'm looking at, you know, these five people in this room and everything, and we might be all connected together and we might give each other like a little wink and a smile saying like, you know what, like, I like how we're in the lead right now. This is great. This is awesome. Or, hey, we're five more points away from whatever my coach said we have to reach and everything like that there. I'm going to do this one more rep. Hey, we got this, high five, whatever. It's amazing. That's what we look to do with Team Fit and transcend that into the essence of everything, One Life in the future.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Great job, kid.
Thanks so much.
Andrew, I'm going to rope you in on this. If you were going to try to get the spark of their organization, what are some ways off the top of your head you would help them capture that spark in order to translate that to somebody to consider joining their club?
I'm going to take notes, Andrew. Don't mind.
Free consulting while I got him here. You're welcome.
All right. So I'm going to stall on that question really quickly because here's what I was thinking about when you were talking about that. We're actually working with the SNAP Ed program of Georgia right now to talk about health choices. And I think it's really interesting what you guys were talking about is those personal choices, competing with yourself, right? And that's the hardest competition there is, you know? And we're talking about like in the workplace, all the little decisions that go a long way. You're at the refrigerator. Do you go heavy cream in your coffee? Do you go sweet tea, unsweet? And it's really been interesting working with them for the past 2 years, just talking about how big of a difference people can make in their life with small choices. And so that's a program we're working on right now, but you guys brought awesome. That up and I thought that was interesting. And I just think that yourself is the hardest competition. But, you know, when I think about you guys, it's just like, you know, what makes your athletes tick and what makes people come in and enjoy themselves. And you brought up something earlier that was like, what gets them off the couch? And I think that's like one of the biggest things because it's so hard to get off the couch. It's so inviting and so easy to stay there. And
we're in a golden age of TV.
it is good.
Right.
So I guess I would just ask you guys, like, you know, or I guess I would ask your customer, like, what motivates them? And I think it would really just be like a panel with them and saying, like, why do you come here? And figure out what that spark is. Is it team competition? Is it personal competition? Is it because they want to beat their spouse? Is it because they want to win with their spouse and or their friend or whatever it is? But if you can bottle that up, I think that's the secret sauce there that gets people motivated to come in. And that's what I would look for is, you know, what gets them in the room? Because once they're in the room, you guys got it, right? You guys are the experts there. You're going to get them jacked up and you're going to get them to come back, right? Because they're going to remember how good it felt to be there. But it's before they get there that's the hard part, because that's when they're like, well, I really enjoy it. It's so comfortable. I got this, that, and whatever. And that's the hardest decision. I'd really try and focus, and we'd probably interview 100 customers and say, what is it that got you off the couch? What is it that got you in this door? Even if you're super in shape, like it's not just out of shape people that want to sit on the couch. I think that's a common misconception. It's like, you know, the people that really do what they do well that still need that extra effort and those. They're the ones who have the answer because they do come in. So why did they come in? And we just got to feed that to the other people.
Absolutely.
And you know, you mentioned storytelling earlier, which I do the marketing. So yeah. That I was like, ding, 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 ears perked up. And I love that. You're absolutely right. We have to tell the stories of our members. And we do like to highlight them on our member success story website. And just some of the things that motivate people, it ranges the whole spectrum. It's, you know, I want to be in shape for my son's wedding, or, you know, I lost my spouse because of heart disease. So, and it's just such incredible people that belong to One Life and our Fit family. So it really, that just really rang true with me. So telling again, the motivation behind it is so important.
And something that I constantly see is people ignore the answer all the time. Like friends, family, and customers, don't listen to them. Why not? They're the ones who are doing this
exactly.
thing. Like, you know, people start a business all the time. What should I do? Talk to friends and family, because you get one freebie with all of them. They're going to support you, but they're not going to support you forever. So really cater to them, and then they'll actually give you a real recommendation to their friends, because your friends and family have a real network. They're real human beings. They can really go out and do an impact for you. They're faking it first, but they might actually, if you do cater to them. And I think about that for businesses as well. You know, people so often forget to talk to their best customers and say, why did you come here? Why are you my best customer? Why do you like me? You know, and that's the answer is always right in front of you. It's just people forget to ask.
Good stuff. See that? You're welcome, Amy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll give you your 20 later.
There you go.
So, Amy and Dane, what is the best way to get a hold of you? Where the website or?
OneLifeFitness.com. And then we have Team Fit, which is team and then FHIIT at onelifefitness.com. We'll get you directly to Dane the Main himself.
Yeah. Functional high intensity interval training. Everybody
of course.
Always kind of trips up on the spelling there
yes.
specifically there. But you can also download our Team Fit app. Once again, that's mm-hmm. Team FHIIT, all one word. It's available on the Apple Store right now. You can download it. You can check it out. You'll see our studio manager, our what we call our chief success officer, Molly, front and center on that page. See a little bit of our session, see our leaderboard, who's currently has the most sessions and points and everything like that, and visualize yourself on there and book your first session with us.
And then, of course, we're on social media, Instagram, Facebook, at Team Fit, at One Life Fit. So you can follow us there.
Good stuff. And thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks, Lee.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.